Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
So what are the findings of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change? We run through and summarize the observables as we continue our coverage of the launching of the event that will unite us all, whether we like it or not, when your voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News. In this segment, we'll be hearing from one of the leading experts on climate change, Dr. Susan Solomon, who summarizes the science behind the findings. If you pay close attention, you'll understand the basis for the historic changes, not only in the nature and scope of climate change, but also the science that foretells our future. We begin with Dr. Dahae Kim, the co-chair of the IPCC, who provides a brief background on the study.
Just quickly to mention the size of this effort. There have been approximately 600 authors from about 40 countries who have worked on this report. There have been about 600 reviewers, and the whole thing was discussed in the past few days by approximately 300 delegates from 113 countries. And this is the strength of the IPCC process. It's essentially the scientists, the experts, who are the ones who assess and provide the knowledge, but this is something that's discussed and debated by governments, and since we accept everything by consensus, the implication is that whatever is finally accepted and approved has the stamp of acceptance of all the governments of the world. And that, may I say, ladies and gentlemen, really provides the credibility of this massive scientific undertaking, and I may say that this is really a unique example of science in the service of society.
We next turn our attention to Dr. Susan Solomon, who will provide the findings. First, Dr. Solomon summarizes and talks about the human and natural drivers of climate change.
The global concentrations of carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide, all greenhouse gases, have increased markedly since 1750, and they are now far, far above the values seen in ice cores many, many thousands of years. The increases in carbon dioxide are primarily due to fossil fuel use and land use, while those of methane and nitrous oxide are due to agriculture. This remarkable record of ice core data going back 10,000 years, you can see some minor ups and downs in some of that data. You can see the tremendous richness, the variety of data sets, and you can see this remarkable rapid rise that began with the industrial era. So for all those gases, when we look at this dramatic rise that is so different from the behavior in thousands of years, there can be no question that the increases in these gases, these greenhouse gases, are dominated by human activity. It's well known that atmospheric aerosols can cool the climate. They can offset, to some extent, the effects of greenhouse gases. And with that information, we can now be very high confidence, that the net effect of human activity since 1750 has been one of warming. And we can put numbers on that in terms of how it's affected the energy balance of the Earth. So these gases are not being canceled out by the aerosol effect by any means. They are definitely warming, a warming influence on the planet.
Dr. Solomon next summarizes the direct observations of recent climate changes.
The key conclusion is that warming of the climate system is now unequivocal, and that's evident in observations of air and ocean temperature, melting of snow and ice, rising global mean sea level. We have some very exciting developments in this report, I think, in terms of continental, regional, and ocean basin scale changes in climate, too. And that includes changes in Arctic temperatures and Arctic sea ice extent, changes in precipitation amounts, ocean salinity, wind patterns, and some aspects of extreme weather, including droughts, heavy precipitation, heat waves, and the intensity of tropical cyclones. All of those things have been changing in recent decades, at least, and some of them even farther back than that.
Dr. Solomon looks back into historical records to develop and explain the paleoclimatic perspective.
Paleoclimatic information has advanced, too. We have a lot more information from tree rings and from other climatic indicators on paleo timescales. And all of that supports the interpretation that the warmth of the last half century is unusual in at least the last 1,300 years. Another very interesting result from paleoclimatic work is that the last time our polar regions of the Earth were significantly warmer than they are today over an extended period of, say, thousands of years, and that occurred 125,000 years ago due to changes in the Earth's orbit. At that very different time in the Earth's history, we did see reductions in the polar ice sheets that led to 4 to 6 meters of sea level rise. And I hasten to add, not just the ice sheets, but some Arctic ice fields as well.
Next, Dr. Solomon discusses how scientists tried to understand climate change and what she refers to as its attributes.
Moving on to the attribution, what I've been talking about so far are the agents that are affecting the Earth's energy balance. I've also talked about how we observe things to be changing, but that doesn't allow us to go that next very important step of being quantitative about the degree to which we could attribute the changes directly to human activity. And the conclusion is that it's very likely that most of the observed increase in globally average temperature since the mid-20th century is due to the observed increase in greenhouse gas concentrations. Now we can say very likely, it's a 90% probability. We also have evidence from attribution studies that discernible human influences extend to other aspects of climate, including ocean warming, continental average temperatures, temperature extremes, and wind patterns. This just shows you the changes that have occurred over the 20th century, over each continent of the world except Antarctica, over all of the other inhabited continents. You can see that the warming has been able to be attributed to human activity.
And now what we're all waiting for, Dr. Solomon summarizes some of the projections of future changes in the world's climate systems.
In the next 2 decades, using previously assessed IPCC SRES scenarios, we would expect, based on projections, that a warming of about 0.2 degrees Celsius per decade would be expected. Even if the concentrations of all the greenhouse gases and aerosols had been kept constant at year 2000 levels, we would have expected to see about a tenth of a degree of warming per decade. And basically what that's referring to is the fact that there's a time lag, that there is a memory or an overshoot. Another way people have talked about it is an unrealized warming or even a committed warming. So based on the greenhouse gases and aerosols that are already in the atmosphere, if those were to be kept constant, you would still see a warming of a tenth of a degree. If they were instead to follow any of these emission scenarios that have been considered in the model, you would see 0.2 degrees C. So that tells you something about the degree to which we're already committed to further changes. If we were to keep emitting greenhouse gases at or above the current rates, that would cause further warming and induce many changes in the global system, the global climate system, that would very likely be larger in the 21st century than they were in the 20th century. So the expectation would be if we keep emitting greenhouse gases at current rates, we'll see bigger changes in the coming, in this current century than we did in the last century. So what really is quite exciting to us in this report is that because of the very extensive database of model results that's now available from a much larger set of models than what we had available in the last report, we can actually give best estimates for how much the temperature would warm. And that allows us to really get a sense of how warming will depend on choices that human beings make to emit more or less greenhouse gases in the coming century. Here we have the projections of future changes in precipitation patterns. What we would expect the pattern to be is one of drying in subtropical regions and more precipitation in higher latitudes. So a very, very sensitive pattern to where one lives in terms of what the projections of future precipitation changes might look like. Anthropogenic warming and sea level rise would be expected to continue for centuries due to the timescales associated with climate processes and their feedbacks, even if greenhouse gas concentrations were to be stabilized. If temperatures were to exceed some value, somewhere between 1.9 and 4.6 degrees Celsius, warmer than pre-industrial conditions, and if they were to be sustained for millennia, thousands of years, eventually one would expect the Greenland ice sheet to melt. That would raise sea level by 7 meters. That's comparable to what we can infer happened 125,000 years ago when polar temperatures were similar. And with that, I'd like to conclude. Thank you very much for your attention.
This report quickly generated responses from around the world. In just a minute, we're off to Washington, D.C. to hear the response by the Bush administration to this historic global effort.
And now there ain't no more higher ground. As far as I can see, my heart begins to pound. You know it's getting tough to breathe. Here comes the water. Should I struggle or give in? Does it even matter if I sink? If I sink? If I sink or swim? Is like the ocean. It's beautiful and dangerous.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool block skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.